sleep.
You don't have a car.
I'll call a cab from downstairs. I've got everything but my...
The light flashed on, causing her to squint before she covered her eyes with one hand.
Oh, you could have warned me. Just a second.
You look interesting.
I bet.
She could imagine it well enough. Naked, her hair looking like a couple of cats had wrestled in it, squatting on the floor holding underwear and shoes.
Why couldn't he be a heavier sleeper? 2 seconds.
She spotted her shirt and debated which was less dignified, crawling over to get it or standing up and walking over to get it. Crawling, she concluded, was never dignified. Naked didn't matter. He'd seen her naked, but he hadn't seen her naked in the morning when she wasn't even close to the low end of her best. And damn it, she wished he'd stop smiling at her that way.
Go back to sleep.
She stood, stepped over for the shirt. Her shoes went flying when he grabbed her and pulled her down on the bed.
Del, I have to go.
This probably won't take long.
He rolled on top of her, making it absolutely clear her bed hair didn't put him off in the least. When he lifted her hips, eased inside her, she decided there were some things even better than coffee in the morning.
I've probably got a couple minutes.
He laughed, nuzzling his face in the curve of her shoulder. She let it build in her, slow, soft, sweet, the rising up with quickening pulse and sighing release. Everything in her went warm and loose with him filling her, heart and body. The fall, as gentle as the rise, made her wish she could just curl up with him and sleep all over again.
Morning,
he murmured.
I was going to say sorry for waking you up, but it turns out I'm not.
Me either. I guess we'd better find the clothes so I can drive you home.
I'll take a cab.
No, you won't.
Don't be silly. There's no reason for you to get up and dressed and drive there and back when all I have to do is call a cab.
The reason is you spent the night in my bed.
Welcome to the 21st century, Sir Galahad. I got myself here so I can...
You know, you're in a very strange position to start an argument.
He braced on his elbows to look down at her.
If you keep it up for about 10 more minutes, I should be able to give you one more reason you're not taking a cab.
That's a pretty optimistic recovery time.
Want to see who's right?
Let me up. And since you're going all gallant, how about scoring me an extra toothbrush?
I can do that. I can even get some coffee into a couple of travel cups.
For coffee, you can drive me anywhere.
In under 15 minutes, and armed with a tall coffee, Laurel stepped outside.
It's raining. Pouring, she corrected. How had she missed that? Del, don't...
Stop arguing.
He just grabbed her hand and pulled her into a dash for the car. Drenched, she climbed in, then shook her head at him when he got behind the wheel.
It's not an argument.
Okay, how about a discussion?
Better, she allowed. I just wanted to avoid setting a precedent where you'd feel obligated to drive me home or that sort of thing. If I follow an impulse, I should handle what's connected to it, like transportation.
I really enjoyed the impulse, but regardless, when I'm with a woman, I take her home. Consider it a brown rule of thumb.
She did consider while tapping her fingers on her knee.
So, if you followed an impulse, I'd be obligated to drive you home.
No. And no, I don't consider that sexist. I consider it elemental.
He glanced over, all sleepy midnight eyes as he drove through the rainy morning.
Equal rights, equal pay, choice, opportunities, and so on. I'm for them. But when I'm with a woman, I take her home. And when I'm with a woman, I don't like the idea of her driving around in the middle of the night, or alone at 5:30 whatever in the morning if there's a way around it.
Because you have the penis.
Yes, I do, and I'm keeping it.
And the penis shields against accidents, breakdowns, and flat tires?
You know what's always been interesting and occasionally frustrating about you? You're able to turn the simple into the complicated.
It was true, but it didn't change the point.
What if I'd had my car?
You didn't.
But what if I did?
I guess we'll find out when you do.
He turned into the drive.
That's evasive.
It is, isn't it?
How about I give you a point back? I won't walk you to the door. She cocked her head.
But you're going to sit here until you know I'm inside?
Yes, I am.
He leaned over, cupped her chin, kissed her. go bake a cake. She started to get out, then shifted back and gave him a longer, much more satisfying kiss. Bye. She dashed to the door, then turned, dripping, to wave as she let herself in. Then, alone in the quiet, she leaned back on the door and indulged herself. She'd made love with Dell. She'd slept in his bed, awakened beside him. A lifetime of dreams had come true in one night, so she was allowed to indulge herself in private, to grin like a maniac, hug herself, and feel utterly, foolishly wonderful. Nothing she'd imagined had come close to those moments, and here alone in the quiet she could revel in them. She could remember each one and savor it. What happened next was anyone's guess, but now, right this minute, she had what she'd always wanted. She almost floated up the stairs and into her room. Full day ahead of her, she thought, but God, she wanted to chuck it all and just flop down on the bed, kick her heels at the ceiling, and wallow. Couldn't be done, but she could wallow in a long, long hot shower. She stripped off her damp clothes, hung them over a towel bar, pulled out the hair clip she'd dug out of her purse to handle the mess of it. Still grinning, she stepped under the hot spray. She was basking in the steam and the scent when she caught a movement outside the glass door. It amazed her the scream she ripped out didn't crack the glass. "Jesus, Laurel, it's just me." Mac opened the door a crack. "I knocked, then I shouted, but you were too busy singing to hear me."
"A lot of people sing in the shower. What the hell do you want?"
"Not a lot of people who are us sing I've Got Rhythm in the shower."
"I wasn't singing that."
Was she? And now it would be stuck in her head all day.
"You're letting out the heat. Go away."
"What's taking you so long?"
Emma demanded as she came in.
"Parker?"
"Jim,"
Emma answered Mac.
"But I told her what's up."
"For God's sake, has it escaped the notice of you morons that I'm taking a shower?"
"Smells good," Mac commented. "You're clean. Get out. We're having pancakes in honor of the anticipated sexy breakfast story."
"I don't have time for pancakes."
"Mrs. G will make them."
"We just had waffles."
"Oh, you're right. Omelets. We'll have sexy breakfast story omelets. 10 minutes,
Emma ordered.
"The men are banned from breakfast."
"I don't wanna..."
But Mac shut the shower door. Laurel pushed dripping hair out of her eyes. She could sneak down to her own kitchen, but they'd just come in and nag her. Resigned, she got out and grabbed a towel. When she walked into the kitchen 20 minutes later, she found Mac and Emma already there, the table set, and Mrs. Grady at the stove.
"Listen, I have a really full day, so..."
"Breakfast is the most important meal of the day," Mac said piously.
"So speaks the Pop-Tart Princess. I really need to get started."
"You can't hold back."
Emma wagged a finger.
"We shared ours, and Mrs. G's already making sexy breakfast story omelets, right, Mrs. G?"
"I am. Might as well sit down," she told Laurel. "They'll nag your ears off otherwise. And since I'm told you didn't get home until about 30 minutes ago, I've a mind to hear about it myself."
As she gulped down juice, Laurel tracked her gaze from one face to another.
"Do you all have some sort of radar?"
"Yes," Parker said as she came in. "And if I'm getting called down before I've had my shower, this better be good." In sweatshorts and a loose T-shirt, she went over to pour herself coffee. "I take it Dell didn't bolt the door and turn you away?"
"This is just bizarre." Laurel took Parker's coffee. "You know this is bizarre."
"Traditions are traditions, even when they're bizarre." Cheerfully, Parker got another cup. "So, what happened?"
Laurel sat, shrugged. "I lost the bet."
"Yay!"
Emma scooted in beside her.
"I lost it too, but some things are more important than money."
"Who won, Parker?" Mac wanted to know. Parker sat, frowned into her coffee. "Malcolm Cavanaugh."
"Cavanaugh?"
Since it was there, Laurel took a piece of toast out of the rack.
"How did he get in on it?"
"Somebody told him, and he cornered me at the ballgame. I said no, bets were closed, but he's pushy and persistent. Plus, he said he'd put 200 in as a late fee, and he'd pick July 5th.
"You mean he nailed it on the button?"
Mac demanded.
"Lucky guy."
"Yeah, lucky guy. I figured he didn't have a chance anyway, as we were all going out, all going together. I didn't expect Laurel to jump out of the van and make a run for it."
"It was romantic."
Emma smiled.
All rushed and flushed and urgent. What happened when you got there?
He opened the door.
Spill, Mac insisted and pointed a finger. You can't be uncomfortable because he's my brother. You and I have been friends nearly as long as Del's been my brother, so it's a wash.
Eat,
Mrs. Grady ordered and served the omelets. Laurel obediently took a bite.
I had worked out the math.
What math?
Emma asked. About what days didn't count in the given 30. It's complicated. It's a formula, but I'd worked it out. Once he caught up with me logistically, he agreed it made sense, but thought we should just forfeit the bet. So we did.
Weekends, right?
Mac shoveled in some eggs.
I thought about that. Weekends don't count.
Exactly. And the first and last days don't count. It gets more complicated, but that's the gist. But in all fairness, since we didn't set those terms, we went with the forfeit. Then we...
Bizarre or not, these four women were her women.
It was wonderful. I had this place in my head that worried I'd be nervous, that we'd be awkward, but I wasn't, and we weren't. He wouldn't rush, and wouldn't let me rush, so it was slow and sweet. He was...
When she trailed off, Parker sighed. If you think I'd squirm because you'd say my brother is a good lover, a considerate one, you're wrong. It's not just skill, you know. It's also a sign of respect and affection for his partner.
He made me feel that there was nothing else that mattered but the two of us, then and there. That's all there was. And after, I could sleep with him, feeling absolutely safe, absolutely natural. That's always the hardest part for me. Trusting enough, I guess, to sleep.
Emma rubbed Laurel's thigh under the table.
That's a really good sexy breakfast story.
We had a little tangle this morning.
A sexy tangle?
That too, one track mind, she said to Mac. I needed to find my clothes in the dark so I could call a cab and get back, full day. But he woke up, which led to a sexy tangle, even though I had bed hair.
I hate that,
Emma muttered.
There should be an instant cure for bed hair.
Then he insisted on driving me home.
Of course. Laurel rolled her eyes at Parker.
The two of you have this unshakable code of conduct. Why should he have to get up, dress, drive me when I can get myself home?
Because you were in his home, that's number one. Second, you were in his bed. Good manners are just that, and don't threaten your independence.
Brown rule of thumb?
Parker smiled a little. I guess you could call it that.
He did. Well, that's going to have to hold you because I have to get to work.
Don't we all? I have 500,000 lilies coming this morning to be processed, and the crew's starting today.
Here too? Laurel asked.
Here too, according to Jack.
Emma glanced at her watch.
Any minute.
You will now live in interesting times, Mac told her. And noisy ones.
It'll be worth it. I'm going to keep telling myself it'll be worth it. Thanks for breakfast, Mrs. G.
It was a good story, so pay it in full.
If things get too crazy in my space, can I shift some of the work in here?
You can. Emmeline and Mackenzie, you called for the story. You're on dishes. I'm going to take a walk around the garden before the hammering starts.
Parker walked out with Laurel. Happy's what counts. Remember, I like seeing you and Del happy when you feel weird about it again.
I'm working on it. Tell me if I start screwing this up, okay?
Absolutely. Her phone rang. And there we have the opening bell. I'll see you later. Good morning, Sarah. How's the bride today?
Chapter 11 Emma's lilies scented the air and bloomed in summer colors of brilliant scarlet and buttery yellow, bright hard candy pink and blinding white. The bride, who'd considered a misscheduled manicure a disaster on the morning of July 5th, posed radiantly for Mac while Parker dealt with a groomsman's misplaced vest and tie. After checking to see no emergencies required her attention or assistance, Laurel carried the cake's centerpiece, a sugar vase she'd molded from a hexagon bowl and filled with miniature lilies. Emma's lilies had nothing on hers, Laurel thought, in execution or time spent. She'd embossed gum paste with a rolling pin covered with textured grosgrain ribbon, then meticulously cut out each individual petal. The result, once the stems had been wired and dipped in thinned royal icing, was both charming and elegant. In the ballroom, She ignored the buzz and hum of setup and studied the cake. More textured petals adorned each tier, a circular dance of those strong colors. More scattered over the cake board in what she considered a pretty and organic touch. As she lifted the topper out of the box, someone knocked over a chair with a crash. She never blinked. That's what Dell noticed. The noise, the shouts, the movement might not have existed. He watched her center the bowl of flowers on the top tier, step back to check the positioning, then take one of her tools out of the box to run a line. No, pipe, he corrected. He knew that much. She piped a couple of perfect lines, like a base on the bowl, around it with hands steady as a surgeon's. She circled the table again, nodded.
Looks great.
Oh. She took a step back. I didn't know you were here, or going to be here.
It was the only way I could figure out how to have a Saturday night date with you.
That's nice. He brushed his thumb over her cheek. Do I have icing on my face?
No. It's just your face. How many flowers on that?
About 50. He glanced around at the arrangements.
It looks like you and Em matched petal for petal.
We worked at it. Well, so far everything's going smooth, so I might be able to... Code red! Emma shouted in her earbud. Crap, where? Great Hall, we need everybody. I'm on my way. Code red, she told Dell as she rushed for the stairs. My own fault. I said everything was going smooth. I know better than to say that.
What's the problem?
I don't know yet. She hit the second floor landing from one wing as Parker charged in from the other. SMOB and MOB altercation. Mac and Carter have the bride occupied and unaware. Laurel whipped the clip out of her hair, shoved it in her suit jacket pocket. I thought we had detente there. Apparently that's over. Dell, good, you're here. We might need you. As they approached, the sound of shouting pumped out of the great hall, and something crashed. Then someone screamed.
You might need the cops,
Dell commented. They burst in to see Emma, her hair tumbling from its pins, trying desperately to separate the two snarling, elegantly dressed women. The bride's stepmother's hair and face dripped with the champagne tossed from the flute still in the mother of the bride's hand. You bitch, you're going down! Shoving, flailing arms sent Emma skidding on her heels, then onto her ass as the women flew at each other. Game, and with a hot beam in her eye, Emma scrambled up as Parker and Laurel sprang forward. Grabbing the closest body, Laurel hauled while curses spewed like grapeshot. Cut it out! Stop it now! Laurel dodged a fist, then blocked an elbow with her forearm. The force of the contact sang straight up to her shoulder. I said stop! For God's sake, it's your daughter's wedding! It's my daughter's wedding! The woman Parker and Emma struggled to control shouted. My daughter! Mine! Not this home-wrecking bimbo bitches! Bimbo? Bimbo? You tight-ass lunatic! It's your last facelift I'm gonna wreck! Emma solved the mother of the bride problem by sitting on her while Laurel grappled with her opponent. As Dell risked his skin by stepping between the two women, Laurel spotted reinforcements coming. Jack, and oddly Malcolm Cavanaugh, rushed into the melee. Kneeling on the floor, Parker spoke quietly and steadily to the MOB, whose temper was already giving way to wild tears. Laurel put her mouth close to the stepmother's ear. This isn't solving anything, and if you care about Sarah, you'll put it away, you'll suck it up for the day. Are you listening? If you want to fight, you'll do it another time, another place. I didn't do anything, and she threw champagne in my face. Look at my hair, my makeup, my dress. We'll take care of it. She glanced at Parker, got a nod. Dell, I need you to bring a couple glasses of champagne up to my room. Then you can take... I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. I'm Bebe, the SMOB said in something close to a wail. It's all ruined. Everything's ruined. No, we'll fix it. Dell, you can take Bebe's dress down to Mrs. G. She'll fix it up. Come on with me, Bebe. We're going to take care of everything. As she steered Bebe away, Parker repeated the routine on the MOB. Emma's going to take you somewhere to freshen up. I'll be there in just a few minutes. Don't tell Sarah, the MOB sobbed. I don't want to upset her. Of course not. Go on with Emma. Don't want to upset her, Parker muttered when the woman was out of earshot.
Hell of a party so far,
Mal commented. Parker tugged down her suit jacket, smoothed her skirt.
What are you doing here? Just dropped by to collect my winnings.
I don't have time for that now. She dismissed him by turning to one of the subs. Make sure all the glass is cleaned up and any spilled champagne. If anything else is broken or damaged, tell one of Emma's team so they can deal with it. Jack, track down the FOB, will you? I'll need to speak with him in my office immediately.
Sure. Sorry it took me so long. I was outside when I got the alert. I moonlighted as a bouncer in L.A.,
Mal told her.
In case you want anybody tossed.
Funny, and not completely out of the question. FOB, Jack, thanks. Mac, she said into her headpiece as she hurried away.
She sure moves.
Mal watched her zip across the room and out the door.
You haven't seen anything yet,
Jack said.
Let's go find the FOB. Jack, what the hell is an FOB?
In her room, Laurel examined the apricot silk dress she'd ordered Bibi to strip off. She could hear both the shower and the sobs through the bathroom door. A few spots, a torn seam. Could have been worse, she decided. Mrs. G would deal with it. And according to the emergency plan for just such situations, she knew Parker would have a hair and makeup team en route very shortly. Her mission, and she had no choice but to accept it, was to keep Bibi calm, help put her back together, listen to her whine, bitch, and or complain, and to get her to promise, with a blood oath if necessary, to behave herself through the rest of the event. Smoothing her own disordered hair, she answered the knock on the door.
Two glasses, as ordered.
Dell eased in to set them on a table and glanced toward the bathroom.
How's it going?
Well, she's down from sobs to whimpers. Here's the dress. It's not too bad. Parker would have given Mrs. G a heads up, so she'll be ready for it.
Okay.
He reached out to straighten her left earring.
Anything else I can do?
You could check with Mac, just to make sure the bride's insulated from all this. Parker would have come up with a reason for a slight delay. Calculating, Laurel rubbed at the tension in the back of her neck. We're 20 minutes out, so I figure 10 or 15 for the delay. We're good. She turned off the shower. Laurel noted. You better go.
I'm gone. By the way, nice block,
he added, lifting his arm to demonstrate. She gave him a laughing shove, then closed the door. Taking a deep, bracing breath, she walked over to the bathroom, knocked. Okay in there? Bibi opened the door. She wore Laurel's best robe with her hair in dark blonde dripping ropes over the shoulders. Her red, puffy eyes shimmered with the threat of more tears. Look at me, I'm a mess. This should help. Is it a gun? Champagne. Have a seat, take a breath. We're having your dress fixed, and we'll have someone in to do your hair and makeup in a few minutes. Oh, thank God. Bibi took a deep gulp of the champagne. Thank God and thank you. I feel horrible. Sick. Stupid. 12 years. I've been married to Sam for 12 years. Doesn't that count for something? Of course. Soothe, Laurel thought, remembering the vow's directive. Soothe, stroke, smooth over. I didn't wreck anybody's home. They were separated when we met. Well, okay, not technically, not officially, but practically. She hates me because I'm younger. She's the starter wife. I'm the trophy wife. She's the one who throws those labels around. And 12 years, I mean, well, shit. It's never easy to handle those kinds of relationships and connections. I've tried. Bibi's red-rimmed eyes pleaded for understanding. I really have. And they were divorced before we got engaged. Almost. And I love Sarah. I really do. And Brad's great. They're great together. I want them to be happy. That's what counts most. Yeah. She sighed, took a slower sip. I signed a prenup. I even asked for it. It wasn't about the money, even though she's always saying it was, is. We just fell in love. You can't help that, right? You can't help who you fall in love with or when or how. It just happens. She's pissed, that's all, because her second marriage hit the skids and we're still going. I'm sorry for all the trouble. Sarah doesn't have to know, does she? No, at least not today. They weren't even sleeping together anymore. When I met Sam, they had separate bedrooms, separate lives. That's like being separated, isn't it? Laurel thought of her own parents. I guess it is. Maybe I was the reason Sam finally took the step and asked for a divorce, but I wasn't the reason they weren't happy together. It's got to be better to take that step than to keep being unhappy together, don't you think? Yes, I do. 12 years, Laurel thought. Yes, that did have to count for something. Bibi, you have a good marriage and a good relationship with your stepdaughter. You can afford to take the high road on this.
She screamed at me. She threw champagne in my face. She tore my dress.
I know. Soothe, Laurel thought again. Now you can be the one to step back, to let it all go today and focus on Sarah, to help make it the happiest day of her life.
Yeah, you're right.
Bibi knuckled her eyes like a child.
I'm really sorry about what happened.
Don't worry about it. Laurel rose at the knock on the door. And in about 15 minutes, you're going to look perfect.
I never even asked your name.
It's Laurel.
Laurel.
Bibi's lips trembled up into a shaky smile.
Thanks for listening.
No problem. Now let's get you ready again. She opened the door to the hairdresser. The bride, blissfully unaware of the backstage drama, stood with her father while her attendants walked toward the flower-drenched pergola. Some brides glowed, Laurel thought, and this one certainly did while the pretty, playful breeze fluttered the gauzy layers of her veil. Mac changed angles and, Laurel imagined, caught that shimmer of joy and anticipation as Sarah turned her head to grin at her father.
Oh boy, here we go.
The music changed for the bride. Laurel saw Sam glance toward Parker, give the faintest of nods, appreciation or acknowledgement, maybe both. Then he walked his radiant daughter toward the waiting groom.
So far so good,
Del murmured beside Laurel.
It's going to be fine. Probably better they had their battle before it started. Got it out of their system.
There won't be any more trouble.
Parker's tone was cold as January ice.
At least not from that source. What did you say to the father?
Del wondered. Parker's smile would have frozen flame.
Let's just say I'm confident the MOB and SMOB will behave in a civil manner, that vows will be compensated for the additional hair and makeup fees, the gown repairs, and all damages.
She patted Del's chest.
And we won't need your services to collect.
I need to go finish the setup.
Laurel checked her watch.
Not that far off time, considering.
Do you want some help?
Del asked her.
No, go get a beer or whatever.
She went back to her kitchen, where it was quiet and cool, where she could sit for just a couple of minutes. Listening to Bibi had depressed her, and she needed to shake it off. Loveless marriages, unhappy homes, the X factor of another woman. She knew exactly the sort of miserable brew those ingredients created, and how long the bitter aftertaste could linger. Surely Sarah had tasted some of that brew, and likely more than once. Yet she'd stood beaming joy on her father's arm, the father who'd been unfaithful to her mother, the father who'd broken the very vows she herself was about to make. Yes, she understood unhappy marriages, but she didn't understand and couldn't accept using that unhappiness as an excuse or rationale for being unfaithful. Why didn't people just end it? If they wanted someone else or something else, why not break it off clean first instead of cheating, lying, tolerating, just existing? Divorce couldn't be more painful for a couple, or the child or children stirred up in that brew with them, than the deceit, the pretense, that smoldering anger. Wasn't that why, even after all these years, a part of her wished her parents would walk away from each other instead of pretending to be married?
Well, and here I've come in to see if I can help since you had all that trouble.
Mrs. Grady fisted her hands on her hips.
And here you are, loafing.
I'm about to get to it.
Lips pursed, Mrs. Grady walked over to tap Laurel's chin up so their eyes met.
And what's wrong with you?
Nothing really.
Mrs. Grady had a way of using her eyebrows in certain expressions that had very clear nonverbal meanings. At the moment, they said, bullshit.
It's just that whole business before got under my skin. It's nothing.
It's not the first time you've had Donnybrooks at one of these dues. Won't be the last, either.
No, it's not really the fight. That, after the fact, was pretty entertaining. Parker won't think so for a couple of days, but really, it had shining moments.
You're circling around it.
It's stupid. I ended up with the stepmother, luck of the draw. I guess she felt sad and embarrassed, so she had to explain to me how she'd gotten involved with the FOB when he was sort of, but not really, separated, and how he and his first wife weren't together so much as just occupying the same house.
Most of the men who want a taste of something fresh say something like that.
Yeah, which is lame, and it's false. But I think I believe her, the stepmother. But why does it matter? Why is it supposed to be okay if you get involved with someone who might be on the way out of a marriage? They're still in it, aren't they?
That's true, Mrs. Grady agreed. But life's rarely a matter of truth and lies without the gray in between.
Then why the hell don't they get out of it if they're going to hook up with someone else?
In a gesture more practical than comforting, Mrs. Grady smoothed down Laurel's hair.
People have their reasons for the damnedest things, in my experience.
She's okay with it, the bride. I remember the consults and the tastings, the rehearsal. She loves her parents, that's clear, and she loves her stepmother. How do people manage that?
It's not always about taking sides, Laurel.
No, it's not. But, you know, I never had a chance to take sides or not, because they were both so wrong.
She didn't have to explain she'd shifted to her own parents.
And even now, if I think about it, if I think about sides, it's them on one, me on the other. It's stupid, but part of me is still pissed off that they're both so careless.
You're angry with them when you should feel sorry for them. They are the ones who are missing out.
They like their life, lives, arrangement.
She shrugged.
At this point, it's really none of my business anyway.
Laurel Ann.
Mrs. G. cupped Laurel's face in her hands, using a name and a gesture rarely employed.
They'll always be your parents, so it'll always be your business.
Will I always be disappointed in them?
That's up to you, isn't it?
I guess it is.
She sighed hugely.
Okay, brooding time's up. I need to get the groom's cake and the rest of the desserts dealt with.
I'm here, so I'll give you a hand with it.
Together, they carried boxes of pastries to the ballroom.
I'm always dazzled by the flowers, Mrs. Grady said as she looked around the room. Our Emma has a magic touch. I like the colors for this one. Nothing pale about it, all bright and bold. Well, would you look at that?
She stepped over to study the wedding cake.
Talk about the magic touch. You've outdone yourself here, Laurel.
I think it's my new favorite summer cake. I'll save you a piece.
I'll let you. Wedding cake's lucky cake.
So I hear. Mrs. G., did you ever think about getting married again, or...
Mrs. Grady let out a delighted laugh.
Oh, there's been some ore from time to time. I'm not doddering. But marriage?
She walked back to help Laurel with the desserts.
I had mine. I had my Charlie. My one.
Do you believe that? Laurel asked. That there's one person, one?
I do, for some of us. For others, if things don't work or you lose someone, there's another. But for some, there's the one, beginning to end. No one else can fit. No one else gets into the heart the same way and lives there.
Yeah, no one else. But you're not always the one back.
She thought of Dell, then made herself shake it off.
Do you miss him still, your Charlie?
Every day. 33 years this November. I miss him every day. But I had him, didn't I? I had my one. Not everyone can say that. You can.
Slowly, Laurel shifted her gaze over.
He's been your one from the start. Took you long enough to go after him.
Why deny it, Laurel thought. Why pretend otherwise with someone who understood so well?
It's scary.
Mrs. Grady let out a laugh.
Sure it is. You want safe? Find a nice puppy you can train to come to heel. Love's supposed to be scary.
Why?
Because if there's no fear, there's no thrill.
If that's true, then I'm thrilled half to death.
Laurel cocked her head.
That's Parker's signal, cocktail and dinner hour.
Go on and give her a hand. I can finish this.
Are you sure?
I like to get my hand in now and then. Go on.
Thanks.
Thanks,
she repeated, laying a hand over Mrs. Grady's. I'll make sure you get that cake. Alone, Mrs. Grady shook her head and sighed. Her girls, she thought, knew all there was to know about weddings, but love turned them upside down. Then again, she supposed love was meant to do just that. When the house cleared, Laurel joined the others for a little unwinding on the terrace. Dell put a glass of champagne in her hand.
You earned it.
Damn well did. Thanks. Where's Parker?
Something to do.
Max stretched out her legs, curled her tired toes.
She'll be right down. Sorry I missed the Battle of the Mothers. I heard it was worth the price of admission.
Brief but brutal.
Laurel yawned and thought of fluffy pillows and cool, cool sheets.
Do you have many wrestling matches?
Mal wondered.
I got punched in the face once.
Carter wiggled his jaw.
It adds an element,
Mal decided.
Good food. Great cake.
He lifted his beer in toast to Laurel, then watched Parker come out looking as if she'd spent the day sipping tea rather than riding herd on a couple hundred people. Your winnings, she said, and handed him an envelope.
Thanks.
He hiked up a hip to stuff it in his pocket.
So you do all this again tomorrow?
Hugely.
Emma groaned.
We usually have smaller events on Sundays, but this time of year we have plenty of big ones, and with that in mind, I'm going to bed.
Better walk my girl home.
Jack stood to take Emma's hand.
I'll drop the truck off on Monday, Mal. Got it. Better get going myself.
Thanks for pitching in.
Max stretched.
Oh, come on, Professor. Let's get home and kick the cat out of bed.
Can't move yet.
Pleased it was close, Laurel dropped her head on Dell's shoulder.
Need a minute. Bye, Mal,
she added, and closed her eyes. I'll walk you out. See the rest of you tomorrow, Parker added as she turned to lead Mal around the house. With her head still on Dell's shoulder, Laurel opened her eyes.
I knew breeding would do it.
Hmm?
Parker'd be obliged to walk Malcolm out if I stuck here with you. They look good together.
What? Come on.
She made an effort to clear her fuzzy brain, then gave up and closed her eyes again.
Sorry. I forgot who I was talking to. Of course, there are no sexual sparks there, nothing smoldering beneath the surface. Nope, nothing there at all.
He's not her type.
Exactly. No obsessing unless it's about me. Hold me up, will ya?
If he's not her type, why the talk about sparking and smoldering?
It was probably me.
She laughed as he pulled her to her feet.
I get sparky and smoldery when you're around.
Good one. Excellent way to shift my attention.
And true.
She felt wobbly and half drunk with fatigue.
Are you staying the night?
That was the plan.
He glanced toward the door as they approached the stairs, and Laurel knew damn well he considered strolling out just to be Dell, she decided, when it came to Parker.
See, I'm sparking and smoldering again.
She nudged ahead of him, stepped up to bring their mouths on level for a kiss.
Sweetie, you're all but asleep on your feet.
True, which makes me a lousy Saturday night date.
I like to look ahead to Sunday morning.
A Sunday morning date sounds perfect, she said as they walked upstairs. Especially since it's an evening event, and I don't have to be up at dawn. How about 8 o'clock?
8 works.
How about meeting me in the shower?
A Sunday morning shower date? Even better.
She drew him into the bedroom, then remembered to shut the door, something she rarely, if ever, did. Something she rarely had reason to do. She walked over to the terrace doors.
I like these open on summer nights. Does that bother you?
No. I didn't hear Parker come in yet. Is she still out there?
Laurel rolled her eyes, considered the options. Turning, she shed her suit jacket, slowly unzipped her skirt.
Maybe I'm not so tired after all.
She stepped out of the skirt, so she wore only a chemise, panties, and heels.
Unless you are.
I'm getting an unexpected second wind.
Must be the fresh air.
And moving to him, she put a great deal of effort into distracting him. It was the least she could do, she thought, as his hands went to work. For friendship.
Chapter 12
Parker poked her head into Laurel's kitchen. Got a minute?
Yeah, I thought you had a consult and a tour.
Had both, did both. Laurel scraped vanilla beans into the mixture of milk and sugar in her saucepan, added the pods.
How'd we do?
The consult nailed down several details and added more. The tour booked the last Sunday we had available next May. She glanced toward the mudroom and the sheet of plywood blocking it off from the space and the banging and buzzing beyond it. It's not as noisy as I thought it might be.
Not if I keep the TV or radio on and pretend it's background noise at an event. Could be worse. Well, it was worse during the demo, so this is almost tranquil.
And it'll be worth it, right, with all the extra space?
So I keep telling myself.
What are you making?
Pastry cream.
Want something cold?
Wouldn't mind.
Laurel prepared an ice water bath for the last stage as Parker fixed two glasses of lemonade. No date tonight, right?
No date. The guys are off to cheer the Yankees and eat hot dogs.
Laurel glanced up, arched her eyebrows.
Girl night?
I'm thinking, especially as I think I found Emma's wedding dress. Laurel paused.
Seriously?
Well, I know what she's after, and it feels like I started a tradition with Max. I'd like us to surprise her tonight so she can try it on, see if it works.
I'm in.
There's something else I'd like to talk about.
Talk?
Laurel gave the mixture a stir as it came to a boil. I'm told Jack asked Malcolm Cavanaugh to join us at the beach house in August.
Oh?
While she turned that over in her head, Laurel removed the saucepan from heat, covered it. In one of the bowls on her counter, she broke four eggs, then broke another four, separating them and adding the egg yolks to the bowl.
I guess they've gotten to be pretty good friends. Plus, there's plenty of room, right? I can't wait to see the place myself, to wallow in the place, she continued as she began to whisk. To bury myself in the glory of vacation until I... Sorry, she said when Parker held up a hand. I get carried away with the idea of doing whatever the hell I want to do for days and nights at a time.
To continue, I just got off the phone with Dell, who called to swear to me on his life that he had nothing to do with the invite.
Well, you punished him over the 4th of July deal.
I did. I may have to punish Jack.
Aw.
Amused at the thought, Laurel added the sugar and cornstarch she'd already mixed together to the eggs, kept whisking. Doesn't your arm get tired?
Yes.
Jack's fate hangs... Damn it. She broke off as her phone rang. Give me a minute. Used to interrupted conversations, Laurel judged the egg and sugar mixture ready, so took the vanilla pod out of the milk and put it back on the stove. While she waited for it to return to a boil, she drank some lemonade and listened to Parker solve a problem for an upcoming bride. Several problems, she decided as her milk had time to boil. She ladled half of it into the egg yolk mix and went back to whisking.
You just leave that to me, Parker said.
Absolutely. Consider it done. I'll see you and your mother on the 21st, 2 o'clock. No problem at all. Bye. She finished the call. Don't ask, she told Laurel.
Wasn't going to.
Laurel poured the mixture from the bowl to the saucepan. Whisked, whisked, whisked. Can't stop now. Critical, but I'm listening. Where was I?
Jack's fate?
Right. Whether or not I have to hurt our beloved Jack depends on if this is a setup.
Do you really believe our beloved Jack would even think about setting you up with Malcolm?
No, but Emma might. If she did, she'd tell me. Laurel thought about it for a moment.
Yes, she'd tell me. She couldn't help herself. She'd probably swear me to secrecy, which I'd honor, but there'd be the lie escape clause. I'd have to tell you the truth if you asked.
I'm asking.
Then no, Emma hasn't said anything to me, so I therefore declare both her and Jack innocent of all charges. You don't have a problem with Mal, do you?
Not especially. I just don't like setups.
None of us does, which is why none of us ever attempts one for any of the rest of us. You know that, Parker.
Parker's fingers tapped the glass as she rose and wandered to the window and back again to sit. There are always exceptions, especially when some of us are blinded by love and wedding plans. Fidgeting, Laurel thought. Parker rarely, if ever, fidgeted.
This isn't one, to the best of my knowledge. You'll have to imagine me lifting my hand across my heart because I can't stop whisking yet.
All right, Jack's spared.
And I suppose there's even more room since you and Del will be sharing a bedroom. She frowned into her lemonade as Laurel finally stopped whisking and took the pan off the burner.
Next problem?
Laurel asked. I have to decide whether to make sure Malcolm doesn't have or get the wrong impression about this, or wait to make that clear if and when he does. Laurel strained the cream through a sieve over the bowl she'd set on the ice water bath.
Do you want my take?
I do.
It seems to me if you said anything about wrong impressions ahead of time, you'd invite them and or irritate him into making a move anyway. He strikes me as the type who takes a dare. I'd leave it alone.
Sensible.
I can be.
Laurel took the small pieces of butter she'd already set out, and whisking yet again, added them one at a time to the cream.
All right. I'll just consider Malcolm a playmate for the other boys and let it go.
Wise.
At last, Laurel put down her whisk and rubbed her arm.
I like him. Mal. I know I don't know him all that well, but I like him.
He seems likable enough.
Plus sexy.
Excuse me, aren't you currently sleeping with my brother?
I am, and really hope to continue that, but one must notice sexy men. And if you tell me you haven't noticed, I'm going to have to use this ice bath to put out the fire in your pants.
He's not my type. And what are you grinning about?
Del said the same thing. Challenge and irritation ran over Parker's face.
Oh, really?
Just the way Del does, because really nobody's his sister's type in Del's overprotective mind. But when he said it, I thought, yeah, exactly, which is why I like him. Parker took a slow sip of lemonade.
You don't like my type?
Don't be dense, Parker. He's sexy, interesting, and different from your usual, and that could be fun for you. Maybe you should let him get the wrong impression.
Blinded by love.
I guess I am.
And why does that worry you?
Laurel stopped massaging her fingers to point one at Parker.
You're changing the subject.
I am, but it's still a good question.
I guess it is, Laurel admitted. I've never loved anyone but him. Knowing I've got all this in me for him and only being sure he cares. Cares a lot, but there's such a big difference between cares a lot and loves. It's scary, which is the way I'm told it's supposed to be, but that doesn't make it less scary.
He'd never hurt you.
And that was the wrong thing to say, Parker realized immediately.
Don't you want him to know you've got all that in you for him?
Can't. Because he'd never hurt me, and he'd try so hard not to.
Which would hurt more?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing my best to just stay in the moment. I think it's working, most of the time. Still, I can't help looking for the trapdoors and tripwires.
And pianos over my head, she thought.
Sensible advice back at you. Sometimes you look for the trapdoor and run into a wall instead.
I wish I didn't know you were right. Okay.
Laurel waved her hands as if clearing a board. I'm in the moment. I'm practically zen.
Stay that way. I'm going to call Mac and get things set up for later. Six okay?
Six is perfect.
Parker stood up, then blew out a breath.
Give me just a taste of that, will you? It's cruelty otherwise.
Laurel got a spoon, dipped it into the warm cream, then offered.
Oh, God.
Parker closed her eyes.
It was worth every whisk.
Shit,
she muttered as her phone rang.
Do you ever think about just not answering?
Yes, but I'm not a coward.
She checked the readout as she walked out of the kitchen.
This is Parker at Vows. How are you, Mrs. Winthrop?
Parker's voice had barely faded away when Del came in from the other direction.
Well, this is a popular spot today.
Why have I never noticed how sexy you look in an apron?
He leaned down to kiss her, but she saw his move toward the bowl of cream and slapped his hand away.
Do you want me to get in trouble with the Board of Health?
I don't see any agents around here.
She got out a spoon, gave him the same taste as she'd given Parker.
Good. Really good. You taste better.
Very smooth, but that's all you get.
She moved the bowl out of reach.
I thought you were going to the game with your little pals.
I am. I'm meeting up with Jack and Carter here, then we're swinging by to pick up Mal.
You're taking a limo to the ball game again.
It was, she thought, so absolutely Del.
What's wrong with taking a limo to the game? That way you can have beer, not worry about parking or the frustration of traffic. It's a pure win.
I should have made this a silver spoon, she said, and took the spoon from him to put it in the sink.
Just for that, I might not give you your present.
Both intrigued and suspicious, she turned.
What present?
He opened his briefcase, took out a box.
This present. But you may be too much of a smartass to deserve it.
Smartasses need presents, too. Why did you give me a present?
Because you need it, smartass.
He handed it to her.
Open it.
She admired the Wonder Woman wrapping and big red bow before ruthlessly tearing them off. Then she frowned at the picture on the box. It looked like some sort of handheld computer or oversized recorder.
What is it?
A time saver. Here, I set it up already.
He opened the box, took out the device with a gleam in his eye that told her the gift was something he wanted for himself.
Instead of writing out lists,
he told her,
you do this. Push record.
He did so, then said,
eggs. See?
He turned it around to show her the word eggs on a little display screen.
Then you push the select button and it's on the list.
Okay, she thought. He'd got her interest.
What list?
The list you'll have when you're finished and push this.
He tapped another button.
It prints it out and, better yet, arranges the items in categories, like, you know, dairy or condiments, whatever.
Her serious interest.
Get out! How?
I don't know how. Maybe there's someone in there arranging, and it has this library feature so you can add specialized items it wouldn't have in there already. You use a lot of unusual ingredients.
Let me try it. She took it, pressed record. Vanilla beans. Her lips pursed as she read the display.
It says vanilla pudding.
It probably just doesn't have vanilla beans in the library because most people just buy the bottled stuff.
True. But I can put it in?
Yeah, then it'll get it next time. And you can put in the quantities, like 3 dozen eggs or however many vanilla beans you'd buy.
Are they actual beans?
They come in a pod, she murmured, studying her gift.
You bought me a kitchen recorder lister thing.
I did. It's magnetic, so you can put it up on the side of one of your coolers or wherever it works for you.
Most guys go with flowers.
She clearly saw the hitch that put in his stride.
Do you want flowers?
No, I want this. A whole bunch. It's a really great present.
She looked up at him.
It's a really great present, Del. Good. Don't be jealous, but I bought one for Mrs. G, too.
That slut.
He grinned, kissed her again.
I need to run over and give it to her, then get going or I'm going to be late.
Del,
she said before he got to the door. He'd bought her a kitchen gadget, one both practical and fun. All that was in her for him wanted to say it. Just tell him. I love you. Only 3 words, she thought, all just 1 syllable. But she couldn't.
Have a good time at the game.
Planning on it. Talk to you later.
Sighing a little, she sat down to wait for the cream to cool and played with her present. Girl night was a favorite event. It often involved dinner and DVDs, popcorn, gossip, and always just the ease and comfort of friends in a tradition that went back to childhood. The addition of Emma's possible wedding dress was, well, the icing on the cake. Anticipating an indulgent evening, Laurel ended the workday by setting her kitchen to rights as Emma came in.
I thought I might catch you here.
Just finishing up, Laurel told her.
I have a request for cupcakes, 2 dozen, 2 weeks, Emma added quickly. So at least the client didn't squeeze it too close. It's my cousin, co-worker's office baby shower. The only directive was cute.
Boy or girl?
Surprise, so not gender-specific. Really, whatever you want.
Okay, put it on the board.
I appreciate it.
Emma added the order and date to Laurel's task board.
What's this?
She tapped the electronic list maker.
Del gave me a present. Oh, that's so nice. What did he give you?
That. It's so cool. Watch this.
She walked over, pushed record. Unsalted butter. I programmed that in.
See, there it is. I pushed this and it's on the list.
Emma just stared.
This is a present?
Yes. I know, to your way of thinking, a present from a guy isn't a present unless it's shiny. But I can hot glue some sequins on it if it makes you feel better.
It doesn't have to be shiny. It can also smell good. Well, it's thoughtful, and you like it, so it's a nice gift. What's the occasion?
No occasion.
Oh, just a gimme? That definitely bumps up the ranking.
It's gonna fall on your scoreboard when I tell you he got Mrs. G one, too.
Well, geez.
Firm on this, Emma fisted her hands on her hips.
I'm sorry, it falls to the token category. A present has to be a one-on-one under these circumstances. It's a thoughtful token. This, my friend, is a present.
She lifted her arm to dangle the bracelet Jack had given her.
The earrings Carter gave Mac for Valentine's Day? That's a present. I fear Dell requires some training.
He would if he were your boyfriend.
Dell's your boyfriend!
With a laugh, Emma grabbed Laurel to dance her in a circle. That sounds so high school. There has to be another term.
Why are we dancing?
Parker wondered as she stepped in.
Dell is Laurel's boyfriend, and he gave her a token. I'm sorry, it's just not present-worthy. Look.
Parker went over. Oh, I've seen these. I want one.
Of course you do, Emma said with a sigh. You're his sister. But would you consider it a gift, especially if he gave one to Mrs. G, too?
It does fall in the murky area. But it's thoughtful and very appropriate for Laurel.
There.
Emma lifted a finger in triumph.
That's what I said. Here's Mac. Mac, we need a tiebreaker.
For what? And what are we doing in here? This is girl night.
We need to clear this up first. Is this a gift or a token?
Emma gestured.
What the hell is it?
See? Token. You never have to ask what a present is. Parker, tell Dell to buy Laurel something pretty.
No, stop it. Laurel gave Emma a shove, but she had to laugh. I like it. If you like it, all rules are off, and it's a present.
What the hell is it?
Mac asked again. It's an electronic organizer for marketing and errands, Parker explained. I want one, too. Why didn't Dell buy me one? I like presents.
Token,
Emma insisted. You don't need another organizer, Laurel told Parker. Mac continued to frown at it.
For God's sake, don't show it to Carter. He'll want one, then he'll want me to use it.
Dell bought one for Mrs. G, too, so Carter's bound to see it,
Emma commented.
Damn it.
This is entirely too much controversy over my new toy. I'm going upstairs.
Is Mrs. G making pizza?
Emma wondered.
I've been thinking all day about Mrs. G's pizza and a large quantity of wine.
We'll get to it, but we've got something to do first.
Not work.
Emma grabbed Parker's arm.
I'm so ready for carbs and alcohol and girls.
Not work, exactly. I happened to pick something up today for approval. You'll need to see it.
What did you... Oh! Oh!
Now Emma spun Parker in a dance.
My wedding dress? Did you find my dress?
Maybe, and to follow a recent tradition, we're in the bride's suite.
This is the best surprise, the best!
If it doesn't work for you, Parker began as Emma pulled her up the stairs.
It'll still be the best surprise. Oh, I'm nervous.
She stopped outside the door of the bride's suite.
I'm really nervous. Okay, here we go.
She reached for the door, pulled her hand back.
I can't open it. Somebody else open it.
Laurel pushed open the door. In you go, she said, then gave Emma a shove. Emma gasped, then pressed a hand to her lips. Parker never missed, Laurel thought. The dress was Emma, romantic and fanciful with its acres of frothy skirts, with just a hint of sexy in the sparkle of the deeply off-the-shoulder bodice. A garden of fabric roses bloomed on the warm white of the elaborate pickup skirt and along the sweeping train fit for a princess.
It's a fairy tale,
Emma managed.
Oh, Parker, it's a fairy tale.
Have some of this.
Mrs. Grady, who'd been waiting with champagne, handed a flute to Emma.
No crying with champagne. You'll water it down.
It's the most beautiful dress in the world.
You have to try it on. Strip it off, Em, Laurel ordered. Parker and I will help you. Max documenting.
The skirt.
Reverently, Emma brushed her fingertips over the fabric.
It's like clouds. It'll billow. Oh, look at the back!
Tiny white rosebuds trailed down to hide the zipper.
Could there be a more perfect dress for a florist?
It kept saying, take me to Emma, Parker told her as she and Laurel helped her into it. No peeking, Laurel ordered as Emma started to turn her head to look in the mirror.
Not until we're done.
Needs a couple of tucks.
Mrs. Grady stepped over with her pins as Max circled with her camera.
Laurel, the train needs a little... Yeah, that's it, Max said.
Oh, Em, just wow.
I have to see.
Hold your horses,
Mrs. Grady muttered, and finished her pinning. She stepped back out of the way, gave the nod.
Ready?
Emma held her breath, turned. Mac caught it, Laurel thought. Caught that moment of wonder, the sheen of tears that was joy.
All my life,
Emma murmured.
Ever since we were little girls, I dreamed of this. And here I am in my wedding dress, and it feels exactly as I hoped it would.
You look like a princess, Laurel told her. Honestly, Emma, you're just staggering.
Emma reached out, touching fingertips to the mirror.
It's me. I'm going to wear this dress to marry the man I love. Isn't that amazing?
Good work.
Laurel put an arm around Parker.
Damn good work.
She took the tissue Parker offered, dabbed her eyes.
Let's toast the bride.
Give me the camera, Mackenzie,
Mrs. Grady ordered,
so I can get one of the four of you. There you are, and aren't you a picture?
She added, and captured it. Later, over pizza and champagne, they dived into wedding plans.
I'll have my mother and maybe my sister come into the bridal shop to see it when I do the first fitting. I'll cry again. We'll all cry.
They're holding two headpieces, one if you wear your hair up, the other if you wear it down. Your mom can help you decide.
Parker, you think of everything.
Emma blinked, sniffled.
No, I don't want to start that again. Oh, the bouquet I'm going to design for that dress! And my three maids of honor. Oh, hey, by then two maids and one matron.
I can't imagine being a matron, Max said over a bite of pizza.
I think lavender. Different styles, but the same color tones. I'm leaning toward whites and lavenders for the flowers. Soft, 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 and romantic. White candles everywhere.
A mix of real silk and sugar.